final cap type moment on the set. They're like,
have
hello,
been
no, yeah.
It's like you've been scheming. We prepared our questions for you. They're going to be tough.
The Spinal
Tap type moment?
Yeah, when
we were doing the movie.
Yeah, any unintentional mishaps or anything like that.
It's funny you say Spinal Tap moments. There was the one that I remember was actually a day, probably some of you were there, the day that they invited some journalists onto the set, and the bit where we were all flying with the Griffins, mm-hmm. and they sort of land us on the sort of battlement at the top. We obviously had to film that all individually, and then they comp you all in, and you're on these wires. And I was next to Peter Dinklage, hoisted up by your ankles and your shoulders, you know, holding your sword. And for some reason, Andrew likes to use a lot of music to kind of, you know, set the theme. So when Skander and William are walking up to do the duel, he was playing like Kanye West, and then you can actually see they're in slow motion, but you can actually see Skander when he's walking in that bit, kind of going. He likes to use mood music. For some reason, Andrew was blaring out this kind of 80s rock, like while we were hanging on these wires. I don't know what he was thinking, but I was kind of playing a bit of like air guitar on my sword as well. And then I looked over at Peter Dinklage in full makeup next to me doing the same thing, and thought, this is like something out of, you know, And then all the journalists are sort of lined up, kind of watching us, just hanging. I was like, this is the least interesting thing for them to see. You know, there's no lines or anything. We're just going to be flown in and landed. And we were supposed to sort of fly in, and as we fly, someone stopped. And your feet get released, and then you're sort of landed. But the very first time, they didn't release my feet, so I just went head first straight into the thing. And the journalists were behind this wall, like sitting here, and I went crashing down. They just had this, ow! You know, my face grazed against the stone.
I better be on the DVD.
I'm sure it won't be. But that felt a little bit Spinal Tap. And then since then, recently as well, doing, appearing at Comic Con or whatever, and you can't go out into the main hall, so you're running like underneath, like through like by the kitchens and by the sort of garbage cans and things, and you know I'm running on going, oh, Cleveland, rock and roll, and there was actually a janitor with a mop in one of them, and I was thinking, which way to the stage, man? And he was like, what? Spinal Tap between
the fuck on.
No, it wasn't the same. He didn't know the lines, so it couldn't be.
Do you know your status for movie 3?
My status?
Yeah. For Don Trey
Caspian, I think.
No, okay. You are on board, you are coming back.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I mean.
It's a go. King Caspian, though, I think that's right. So Your Majesty's fine. October, I think we're going to start shooting October. Okay. From what I hear, the last week or so, New Zealand and Mexico. From what I hear. But subject to change, because I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or not. No one's throwing anything, right?
It's public. We all, on Narnia Web, we know.
On Narnia Web, we know. Okay.
Yeah.
They know everything on Narnia Web.
Have they discussed you playing yourself elderly in movie 4?
The only conversation I've had about that was with Howard Berger from KMB, and I said, dude, can you make me look 70? Like, really, that's trying to be tough. And he was like, yeah. I was like, sweet. that's the only conversation I've had about it so far. Whether anyone wants to see me with a walking stick.
You get a death scene, though, and that's always important.
Right. Well, he's young at the end, right? He comes back to the very end. He floats down the river and sort of chases them away at the school. So maybe be a cameo. Who knows?
What was the experience like for you? I mean, there's already one movie in the can. There's very much a family element in the first film. And now you're the new guy on the set. How was that process of acclimating into the Narnia family?
Mm.
Were you accepted immediately?
Narnia.
Did they welcome you with open arms, or was there a little bit of a standoffishness?
No, not at all. I mean, I think they if they weren't prepared, they were prepared by somebody else, that they knew that somebody else would be joining their family. And, you know, I said it before, I was very cynical when I first watched. When I first got the part, you know, I was, you know, fascinated by the whole process and wanted to know as much as possible what I was in for. So I went, I got the DVD of the first one and watched all the extras, and there were, you know, there's Georgie sitting there going, oh yeah, like a family, and Will's like my big brother, and you know, Andrew's like my dad when my dad's not there. Just to, you know, get me a bucket. It's not going to be like that. And then you get there, and I walked into the production office, and they were playing table tennis with each other, and you know, and Georgie was sitting on Will's lap, and they were sharing ice cream, and it was just like something out of, you know, Disney. You know, like something out of a Disney movie, even though it was real. And I looking for someone filming me, thinking it's not like this, but it is like that. And I know I really did learn from Will and Anna about how to be around, you know, the younger members of the cast, and they were very, very welcoming, and it was a very family feel to the whole process, and it was great that I got to see it with them. You know, sitting with them, and I was a little emotional at the end of the film last night. You could tell because, you know, she was sitting next to me, she was teary at the end. And Will, when we filmed that scene where he hands me over the sword, he didn't want to let go of that. He was, you know, he was kind of, you know, mm-hmm. he's worked for that, you know. Yeah. So it was hard for him, I think. But you know, they were 13 years old when they auditioned for this film, and now they're, you know, 13, 14, now they're like 19, 20, 21 years old. I mean, it's a lot of your childhood to give up to one project. Mm-hmm. So obviously they're going to, you know, want to cling on to it, and they kind of have to hand it over. So. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it kind of mirrors things. You know, at the end of the movie, you know, Kathleen says, I don't think I'm ready for this. And everyone's asking me today, how do I think I'm going to handle what's coming? I'm like, I don't know. You tell me.
Well, speaking of which, like last night at the movie theater, I mean, people were like swarming you and William as soon as you came out of the bathroom. Like, what was going through your mind? Just like that kind of fan, like, you know, frenzy.
Yeah, Kathleen got a pee too.
Were you thinking like my pants probably good enough?
Right, exactly. I was thinking really, this is gonna have like fans. Caspian men's room stuff. That's not cool.
You know, one of the things we were talking about was how you had to create an accent based on, you know, a group that doesn't exist. There is no Telemarine accent. How did you come up with that? Did you work with someone?
Yes, I did. Okay. Great dialect coach called William Conacher. And we started off, our brief was to do a light Spanish accent. That was our brief, because they said they were going to cast all with Spanish actors and they would be speaking the natural, you know, English voice. And then he cast an Italian, a Mexican, a Spaniard, and a Flemish actor. And I just went, I literally, this is week one, and I went, you know, that we finalised that cast, and I just went, now what do I do? Like, because I've been working with Spanish accent, and, you know, and so we basically just tried to alter it a little bit so that it would kind of fit in and sound like a little bit like sort of Miraz and Glazel and those characters, but a little bit lighter. I mean, I felt it was important to keep the intonation quite English because there's such English books, and you know the dialogue is very English still. And I felt it was important to kind of keep that intonation. So a really thick accent, I think, would have been a little bit annoying, actually, probably. But I think I've done almost all my parts I've done have been in different accents, almost everything. And to my ear, I was actually okay with it.
You were.
I was.
It's
yeah.
Very pan-European.
I was okay with it. Yeah. Watching it yesterday, I thought I was one of the things I was worried about. I thought it might sound a bit cod, but actually I was okay with it. And I don't like watching myself, so that was a big deal for me.
Speaking of like family films. What do you think about the Prince Caspian action figure in video games? the whole, like, franchise aspect of this whole thing.
I know, it's scary, isn't it? I mean, there's a concept when someone says you're going to be acting, you're like, yeah, and then you think, actually, what this entails is probably like some six-year-old smashing my head against the table. That's what I did with my Transformers and my He-Man. I was like, fight each other! Yeah. So, you know, that's the, you know, chewing on the fingers, you know, that's what I meant. You know, that's the reality of it, isn't it? You know, people play the video game going, die, die, cut me in, you know. I have, and I think it looks amazing. I'm a technical idiot, so I mean, just to see, it just looks incredible.
You get to cut off Miranda's head in the video game.
I haven't got that far.
My son would want.
I've only seen the trailers. Yeah, so kids can be pretty. It's going to be pretty grim, I guess. Pretty morbid.
Grand Theft
Narnia. Very cool. Yeah.
How was watching the movie last night for the first time, and you're being around all kinds of people watching yourself? What was that like?
To be honest, I might as well have been on my own. Yeah, I was like completely... Because you know, you give, you know, with the press and the shooting, it's like a year of your life, and it suddenly is condensed into this 2-hour, object that you can, it's tangible, it's right there. And
were there any parts that you wish were still in, or wish there were parts that were kind of cut out?
You know, the bits that were cut, I think, really actually helped. You know, I didn't briefly discussed it last night, but I thought that what I was most pleased about, the things I was worried about were accent and the relationships between Peter Pevensey and Susan Pevensey. You know, I was worried that they would be too broad, and actually I thought they were actually quite subtle and real, felt kind of real. You know, the kiss at the end feels like something that she thinks, well, why not? We've been through this together, I'm leaving, and it's real, and it's adult, and it might happen. And the stuff with Peter as well doesn't feel like they hate each other. It just feels like they're at each other's throats because they've been through this stuff together. And so I was pleased with the way that all kind of fitted together. You know, I understood. I'm the one saying it, I understood the story a lot better now than I did when I first read it. Which is, you know, I went up to Andrew and I'm like,
there's a lot of obviously a lot of spirituality to C.S. Lewis's work.
Yeah.
When you read something like that and you're performing in that, is that something that you've thought about?
I think it's something I've thought about because when I was at university, children's literature was one of my sort of special topics. So I reread lots of children's literature. These books being part of that. So it's definitely something I've thought about. I think it's quite a dangerous thing to think about whilst you're shooting, because obviously, you know, we're making a contemporary film for a 2008 audience, for people who not necessarily know the books or not necessarily interested in that side of it, and still want it to be exciting for those people. So it's actually not something that I think you can afford to think about when you're actually shooting. It's more a kind of moment-to-moment thing, but it's definitely something that I've thought about since. You know, I'm not a fan of spoon feeding in films. I find myself patronized very easily by those kind of films. But also, equally, you know, if I watch a film, I'm like, what's the point? What's the message? You know. And I don't think it has to be a lot. I don't think in this there's necessarily one specific clear message. There's a lot of didactic little messages in there about self-belief and belief in the people and ideas of and acceptance in the people around you and having faith in something sort of bigger than yourself. You know, you don't necessarily have to give it a name. But yeah, and also the historical context was much more vivid to me watching it than it was when we were shooting it. The kind of faithlessness of this race, which is, you know, with a dictator and you know, that wants his race to, you know, to go forward at the expense of all others. You know, it's set during the Second World War. This film, you see it, you know, little remnants of it, but I think it's all of it is there if you choose to see it. I think you can sort of judge the film on whatever level you want to.
Okay, I think it's right there.
Thank you.
Thank you.